Tonight I want to talk about love, but in Buddhism it's not only love, it's loving kindness, metta. But since the world, all over the world, everyone almost know love as love, I'll talk in a general sense as love. What is love? So if we somehow contemplate it in a normal, everyday sort of a way of thinking, love is that we see someone or something and then we like it, and that likeness go deeper and deeper until come to a stage that we want that, or we want to have that. And we want that something or someone we love to be with us. It get to that stage that we have to have it. We have to be with that thing or with that person. And that is in everyday term what love is all about. Something that we like so much. Change to fondness. Change to deep attachment, deep longing for it, and then the feelings of wanting it badly, that is love. So we pursue it. We try to get what we want. We put all sort of efforts to get to what we want. If we somehow want a new mobile phone, no matter how much it costs, we'll save money, or we'll spend that much money on what we want. Or if we like somebody, if we love somebody, we'll try to pursue them. We try to dress nicely, try to attract them, talk to them really nice. Whether we are nice or not doesn't really matter. But when we are with them, we try to talk very, very nice, because we want that person to like us. So we put our best behavior and best appearance, the clothes we choose, the shoes we choose, and our mannerisms, facial expressions, we put the best we can as if we are an angel. We are really likable person. We are advertising, look, I'm a very nice person, very likable, very lovable. And that, look at me, I'm so nice to you. And you should love me. That's what we do, trying to attract somebody. So if that somebody also has the same sort of a frame of mind, then that person also return in similar kind. And then that's what we call, we fall in love. So we get now what we want with all the advertisings and grooming and putting our best behaviors and all the niceties and all the frame of mind that we put in, like little angels that we have acted to attract. But once we are together, after a while, now since we have got what we want, we got the person that we want, and we then turn back to our natural, habitual way of doing things, or living things, or saying things, then, we are not like when we are trying to pursue someone anymore. Our speech become what we used to say things and in a natural habitual way, and the way we do things the same. And we know that we don't have to do those things anymore. We don't have to dress up for them anymore. So that's how from love, trying to get what we want to, when we got what we wanted, then it turns into like that. everyday, normal, habitual affair, way of things again. So that's why after a while, you know, people say, you're not the person I fall in love with anymore. Of course, no, because when you're trying to fall in love, they're putting the best of everything, whether they are or not, isn't it? So this is a normal, you know, everyday love that we say what love is all about. Another example of extreme love is the selfish love. You look at people, you know, oh, I love this little bird. I love this cockatoo. And what do? They put them in cages, isn't it? And the cockatoo's in a cage about not even a meter to a meter wide, you know, less than that. And little birds in a small little cages hung up from here and there. You know, they love them so much. These little, oh, look at them, so beautiful, look at them, they're singing. But whose benefit that is, isn't it? Not the benefit of the birds. The nature of the bird is to fly around, open wide spaces in the sky, no limit. They fly as far as they want, as high as they want. They live on trees, from one tree to another, they go. And imagine sitting in these little cages year after year, day after day, months after months, for the sake of the love of these people who keep them. Isn't it a selfish love? Isn't it? You know, I see people in their little, putting their little birds in their little cages. I feel so sorry for them, as well as for the little birds. What love is that? Of course, if you tell them, oh, I love these birds so much. I've seen somebody he got a big cage, though. He built an aviary, I think, you know, it's quite big, about 5 meters by 3 meters sort of things, and about the height, about 3-4 meters high. But still, you know, all the birds flying around inside, you know, on little small space like that, there are about 20-30 birds in there, right? And they go and look, oh, look at that one, it's beautiful, look at this one, beautiful. But, you know, it's their happiness, not the happiness of the birds. That's a selfish love. So when you look at love itself, it is, in a sense, selfishness. Some are extreme selfishness, some are, you know, little selfishness inside. We fall in love with somebody because we see what we like in that somebody. That's why we fall in love, otherwise we wouldn't fall in love. So there's a degree of self-interest is there. So, and then that person is also putting up all the speeches and acts for us to like them, and we fall for it. It may not be their natural way. So then later on, when we find out that their normal behavior is not like that one that they showed us when we fall in love with them, then disappointment comes in. So that's how all the unhappiness and unsatisfactoriness and, you know, disappointments, frustrations, and then build up, and then quarrels and fights. That's how it ended up unhappy. So in a sense, to look at them in a proper Buddhist ways, the so-called love that we are seeing is a majority of it is like a very much what I can get out of this relationship sort of things. But they are also people who fall in love with each other, develop a very meaningful and beautiful relationship, become good friends, and they live up until their ripe old age, until they die. You have that too. That is the more or less come to understand the reality of life and accept each other as they are, and then try to help each other become good friends as well. And that sort of relationship become more and more, as they get, longer and longer, become more stable. But the other sort of love that we fall in love because we have so much strong self-interest and because we like something in them, doesn't last very long. They just, ended up in a, breakups and, disastrous and, very bitter, endings. So in Buddhist way of love is not in that way of lustful things or, wanting to have anything that is, only one-sided beneficial to us. It is more or less understanding the needs of other people, our partners, and then trying to understand what their goodness are before we, have a relationship with them. We try and find out is he or she is a kind person, good-hearted, like these things. And then when we are together, we try to nurture these, good parts in them as well as ourselves. And in, not in a selfish way of love, but more or less kindness and giving, generosity, giving. Generosity starts from home. Giving to our partners of what they need and what they required. Taking care of them. And then in time of needs, we put everything we have, to assist them mentally and physically. And then, trying to stop them when they are doing wrongs, not committing together with them, leading them to the right way, and try to encourage and, participate when they are doing good things, wholesome things. That sort of relationship we develop. And also with the meditation and understanding of nature of the mind, we forgive them when their mind is moving. And when our minds are mind is moving, then we try to refrain ourselves from harming ourselves and harming our partners. And we base our relationship on trust, on Buddhist principles, not committing sexual misconducts. So in that sense, we trust each other and not breaking up relationships that is already established. So we live with these principles as Buddhists. So then we can build trust in the relationship. So then it is in a sense not trying to control, not trying to possess, but to letting them to develop goodness in their own sense, understanding that as Buddhist relationships there will be a commitment to each other, no sexual misconducts. So in that sense you can trust each other, trust basis. And then on the other hand, as I said, we not controlling and not being possessive of each other. Through this wisdom of, Buddhist teachings, and then we can develop fully, not being controlled by anyone. Then, in that sense, you come to see the struggle that each other is doing to live a Buddhist life, to refrain and to control this mind. And you encourage each other. And that sort of relationship grows into respectful positions, respect to each other as well, with understanding. Understanding this body as it is, not over-expecting anything out of this body, we have this acceptance of each other, not expecting to be a Miss Universe and Mr. Universes. As they are, we accept it. After all, with the Buddhist contemplation, you know what this body is, what this mind is, and that's all it is. We accept it. You don't have to go over the board to make yourself so beautiful or so handsome to be liked by your partner. You be as you are, with a good heart, a pure mind, practicing Buddhism, living together peacefully. That's what love and kindness in Buddhist relationships are. Not in a way of a selfish love that people practice. We won't keep birds in the cages in our houses, and we won't talk harshly to each other out of our selfish desires or our ill will and aversion of what we don't like to hear, what we don't like to see, how they act, but with forgiveness, with understanding of life as it is. This body is as it is this body. The mind is as it is. If not refrained, if not controlled, it will go astray. Understanding this, you have forgiveness, you have patience, you have understanding, and you help each other to develop a pure mind, to purify the mind, and to have a good conduct in life, and to have good morality. Then the relationship born out of these qualities can last very long and harmless to both, and bring happiness and serenity in life. And that is the foundation of building peace in marriage and harmony in relationships. So this sort of Buddhist relationships need to start from the groundwork. Whatever, first of all, ill will, aversion inside, you have to get rid of them. Whatever ill will and aversion that is going to come up, you have to get, suppress it. Don't let it come up. Whatever, goodness together you have already, developed, sustain it. Whatever good things that you can develop together, don't hold it for, another day. Just bring it up, make it happen, all the good things. And that way of living and that way of loving is the true sort of, appropriate loving kindness that we can develop between, partners, between, couples, between families, between parents and children, brothers and sisters, between relatives. Then if you have that frame of mind, that true love from your kind heart that is coming in regardless of who they are, then that sort of love is stable. That sort of love has no desires. That sort of love has no expectations. That sort of love is giving. That sort of love is generosity. That sort of love is forgiving. That sort of love is accepting, because we understand what life is all about. And that sort of love is the love that will make us happy and peaceful in this life. So I encourage all to practice in your daily life. Do you have this generosity, qualities of a true loving kindness, and be able to have a peaceful and happy relationship? Thank you very much.